Well, we are in our final week of our four-week study on the book of Philippians. And this week, I want to look at two particular verses in chapter 4 of Philippians, and that's verses 6 to 7. And we want to look at living in peace and joy, which is God's answer to anxiety. Now, let me start with a question by asking a question. What are you worried about today? Now, if you're like most people, whatever you're worried about probably has something to do with the coronavirus at the moment. In recent surveys, 90% of respondents reported increased worry, increased frustration, increased boredom or anxiety as a result of this ongoing pandemic. Now, people reported feeling stressed from isolation during quarantine. They have worries about their health, fear about their employment, and uncertainty about what would happen to their loved ones. Another survey said that 70% of people worry about having enough money to pay their bills. Parents of school-aged children worry about when or if schools will reopen fully. I can't blame anyone for feeling uncertain and even a bit uneasy about the next few months that we're going to go through, or what's going to happen in the next few months ahead. No one knows what to expect, and that's where anxiety and that's where worry sort of manifests itself. Just a handful of years ago, a non-for-profit mutual society in the UK commissioned a survey to discover the most common sources of worry. And here's the top 10 worries, counting down from number 10 to number 1, according to their survey. The number 10 is diet. 9 is job security. 8 is rent or mortgage payments. Number 7 is credit card debt. Number 6 is low energy levels. Number 5 is overdrafts and loans. Number 4 is overall fitness. Number 3 is lack of savings and financial future. Number two, biggest worry is growing old. And number one is being overweight. So here are three observations about that list. These items fall into two categories, really: health and finance. These are universal human conditions and concerns. These are issues that we will be with us. They will be with for a long time, as long as we live. It's the human condition. So quite frankly, you're going to have to die in order to stop being concerned about money and health. So now take all those common worries and then add on top of them the coronavirus. And so no wonder some of us have trouble sleeping. No wonder why some of us feel like we're under pressure. And no wonder why some of us find it hard to concentrate. Have you ever wondered how much time you spend worrying? It's probably more than you think. The same survey taken by the UK non-for-profit mutual society asked people how much time they spend worrying. And here's what they found. Each week we spend 14 hours worrying. That equates to 744 hours of worry each year, which in turn It turns into 45,000 hours of worry over a lifetime. That equates to 1,885 days in a lifetime spent doing nothing but worry, which means that we spend 5 years of our life captured by worry. For most people, it's not just one thing, but many things that are wrapped up together. It's job, school, money, work, health, bills to pay, your husband, your wife, your ex-husband, your ex-wife, the in-laws, the outlaws, the kids, and on and on and on and on the list goes. Any one thing we can handle in itself, but or even two things we could probably handle. But when this gets to three things and four things, and you know, our knees start to buckle. To worry is to give way to anxiety or to give way to unease. It's to allow one's mind to dwell on difficulties and to dwell on troubles. The word worry comes from an old English word which means to strangle or to seize by the throat. So here's a simple definition. Worry is the excessive concern over the affairs of life. Now the key observation is the word excessive. Excessive. Worry happens when you're so concerned about the problems of life that you can't think of anything else. It's an all-consuming feeling of uncertainty and fear. The Bible says worry is a sin. And it says it's a sin for two reasons. First, it displaces God in your life. When you worry, you're living as though God doesn't exist. You're living as though you alone can solve your problems. And secondly, it distracts you from the things that really matter in life. As long as you're worrying, you can't do anything else. You're strangled by worry. Worry is a sin, but it goes beyond sinning this morning. Habitual worry for a person who calls themselves a Christian is really a form of idolatry. Because when you worry, the things you worry about have replaced God on the throne of the universe. Now I realize that I've said worry is a sin, and not only a sin, but a form of idolatry. But many people would want to argue with me about that issue. Now, I can read the emails now. Can't we, Jan? You don't know what I'm going through. How can I be cheerful when my marriage is falling apart? Or if you lived with my husband, you wouldn't be happy either. My family members have COVID-19. How can I rejoice about that? And people have mistreated me and I'm going to get even with them. If I had more money, I'd be happy, you know. My friends, hold the emails. Worry and prayer are opposites, like water and fire. You can worry or you can pray, but you can't do both. So in order to focus on our thoughts, let's concentrate on a very similar or familiar passage of scripture that we find in Philippians chapter 4 verses 6 to 7. It contains three thoughts, and that's what we're just going to look at, three thoughts this morning. The first is a prohibition. The second thought is a precept. And the third thought is a promise. So firstly, let's look at the prohibition, which is a fancy word for a ban. Now I remember when Tim was little, Mum used to always say, "You're banned." And I remember when he didn't want me to watch a television program, that he wanted to watch something else, he goes, "You're banned." Mum told me, "You're banned from the television." "You're banned." Prohibition. That's what he's saying. Tim was saying, "There's prohibition for you. Dad, you can't watch that." Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Do not. There's the prohibition. Do not be anxious about anything. In the King James, it says, "Be anxious for nothing." Don't worry about anything. Paul places a ban on anxiety and worry. And we immediately want to say, you're mental. How can that be? Let's think about this. Where was Paul when he wrote these words? He was in a Roman jail. He was chained to Roman guards around the clock. But then he writes this letter. He has no complaints. We've read the whole letter over 4 weeks and we've heard not one single complaint from the Apostle Paul. Or we could say he had plenty to complain about, but he said nothing about it. His future was a dark mystery. He didn't know when or if he would get out of jail. He was at the mercy of Nero. We all know Nero. He was a bloodthirsty dictator. But he never mentioned that fact at all in all the 4 chapters that we've read so far. In light of life's very real problems, plus the ongoing pandemic that we're in, plus the unrest we sense all around us, how are we supposed to be anxious for nothing, as Paul says? If 90% of us are worried about the coronavirus, How do we get to that elusive 10%? How do we get to that 10%? The key lies in the word nothing. It's an utterly exclusive word. Paul says you are to worry about nothing. Why? Because you pray about everything. Worry is rat poison to the Christian life. It weakens your faith. It encourages our fears. It destroys our joy. It increases our doubt. It accomplishes nothing useful for spiritual life. Worry makes us think we can predict the future, but it's only God who knows what will happen tomorrow. It distracts us. Worry distracts us from our legitimate duties. It wrecks our testimony. It leaves us exhausted and depressed. Worst of all, worry is a contagious virus that can quickly spread to others. It puts a question mark where God puts a full stop. It's like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't take you anywhere. I ran across this important bit of practical philosophy. It says, Worms eat you when you are dead. Worry eats you when you're alive. Let me say that again. Worms eat you when you are dead. Worry eats you when you're alive. So prohibition, Paul says, prohibition. Don't be anxious about anything. Number two, let's look at Paul's precept. He says, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Paul gives us four specific instructions in this precept on how to deal with worry. First is prayer. When you pray, you come face to face with the God of the universe. This speaks to the attitude of the heart. Prayer begins with your desire. It doesn't begin with your words. Prayer begins with your desire this morning. Prayer is to the spiritual life what breathing is to the natural body. Romans 8:26 reminds us that when we can't pray, or when all we can do is groan under the burdens of life, the Holy Spirit comes and prays for us. Listen to what Paul says in Romans. He says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Romans 8:26 and Philippians 4:6 tell us where we must begin this morning. The slightest whisper on earth is shouted in the courts of heaven. So, my friends, if all we do is cry out, O God, or O Jesus, that's enough. That's enough in those hard times. The Holy Spirit fills in everything else. Second, he talks about a petition. What is a petition? It's a list you make when you are in a desperate circumstance. It's a document you sign when changes are needed to be made. In this verse, it means begging God for what you need. It helps you think of prayer this way. If Jesus was standing here, what would you ask him for? Or imagine the Lord saying to me, Neil, what do you want me to do for you? This is the question Jesus was asked by blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, verse 51. God blessed that blind man because he knew what he wanted. Rabbi, he says, I want to see. And Jesus loved it when he comes to him with a specific request, a petition. And if you need a miracle this morning, ask for one. Petition. There's no extra charge for large requests with God. Amen? No extra charge. Number three, Paul talks about, in precepts, he talks about thanksgiving. And here's an important antidote to worry. Pray with thanksgiving. Why is that so important? Worry and gratitude cannot coexist. Worry and gratitude cannot coexist. Worry will drive out gratitude, or gratitude will drive out worry. So, how can we increase our gratitude? Well, first of all, you can quote promises. Just go onto Google and type in the promises of God and then read them. Remember them. Quote them. Listen to Christian music. That's another good place to start. Remember God's goodness. Hang out with grateful people. There are plenty of grumpy people in the world. We have to deal with them all the time. And you don't have to spend time with them. An ungrateful heart is a cold heart. But thanksgiving can melt icebergs this morning. Ingratitude destroys the joy of the Lord, but thanksgiving brings it back. And the last that Paul mentions in his precepts is requests. This broad word covers the waterfront of life. It includes both the daily prayers and our urgent cries for help. We make our requests known when we pray in church and when we pray during our quiet time. But the term requests also covers those things like the arrow prayers, you know, the little prayers we shoot up during the day when we do it quickly. We say, help, Lord, or we say, Lord, help me. There's these little arrow prayers. So the Lord invites us to pray about everything. There is no detail too small for the Lord because he reads the fine print of our lives this morning. If it touches you, it touches him. And we consider trivial, what we consider trivial, sorry, is not trivial to Jesus. So here's the big takeaway. Don't wait. Hope for things to get better. Take your little cares to Jesus before they become big ones. Pray and tell him what you want. Now, our first key thought was prohibition. Don't be anxious about anything. The second key thought was precept. But in everything, every situation, by prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Finally, let's look at a promise. Philippians 4:7 offers us a wonderful promise that is ours to claim this morning. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When you take your burdens to the Lord this morning, he replaces your worries with something much greater. Peace that surpasses all human understanding this morning. The word guard is a military term that was used for a soldier standing at a gate. When we follow God's plan, God sends his peace to stand guard at the door of your heart. We can't define this peace, but we know what it is. When peace guards your heart, you stay calm when the whole world is going nuts. And when peace stands guard, you can have joy when your heart is breaking many times, or all the time. So God's peace can and will deliver you from bitterness, from despair, from anger, from dishonesty, from greed, and from pessimism. It transcends understanding because it comes down from heaven to every believing heart. And you can have God's peace anytime you need it. There is no secret that you must discover. There is no code that you must break. God's peace can be yours if you lay a hold of faith in Jesus Christ. So here's the big promise for today. You can have the peace of God. And so are you worried about your kids and your grandkids? Well, God offers peace. Are you anxious about test results from the doctor? You can have peace while you wait. Are you concerned about the coronavirus? God's peace will guard your heart. So God issues the same invitation to all of us. Take your worries, take your cares, take your burdens, take your anxieties, and give them to me, he says. Why should you lug that heavy weight around when he will carry that for us? So here's the issue. Most of us don't have any problem casting our burdens on the Lord. Our problem is that we keep pulling the burdens back. Just like a fisherman who throws the line into the water and then reels it back again. We keep pulling our burdens back. Now, no one knows what tomorrow brings. We're all learning well, we've all learned in the last several months that our plans and God's plans aren't always the same. So here's the big idea. We don't need to give way to fear this morning just because the future is in the Lord's hands. And as we trust in the Lord and listen to what the Spirit is saying, we will be all right no matter what happens. We are in a difficult period in history with no defined end in sight. Now, that refers to the spread of the coronavirus, but it also could equally apply to the ongoing political turmoil. It could equally apply to the discord, in homes. In times like these, we discover what we believe. And anyone can trust in the Lord when life is good, when no one's sick, when there's money in the bank, and our church is happy and healthy, and our kids and our grandkids are doing well. But it's a bigger challenge to rejoice. It's a bigger challenge to give thanks and to walk by faith when the schools are closed, when our boss says, we're going to have to let you go, when we argue constantly about politics, when our church can't meet for services, and when some of us in our community are testing positive for COVID-19. It's a much bigger challenge to rejoice in those circumstances. But I wish I could say that things will get better in the next 3 months or in the next 4 months. That might be true, and I hope it is true, but only the Lord knows for sure this morning. So today the question becomes, will we trust in the Lord or will we give way to worry? Your answer will go a long way to determine your impact on your family, the impact you have on your friends, and the impact you have on your neighbours. The world wants to know if what we believe in is real. And can you handle hard times? Will you still just trust Jesus in uncertain days? And will you walk in worry, or will you walk in God's peace guarding your heart? So, my friends, we have a great future because we have a great God this morning. So please join me in prayer. Father God, help us. We do not pray for a lighter road, but we do ask for stronger shoulders. Lord, deliver us from worry that strangles us, from care that consumes us, and from anxiety that overwhelms us. Help us cast our cares on you and then leave them there. Lord, give us happy hearts because we know you will carry our burdens so that we don't have to. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.